Well, you know, I appreciate Brother Daniel. He was talking to me earlier, and he said, it was great last night, it's going to be great this morning, going to be great the rest of the week. Talking about the speaking and the messages. And I said, well, that's one sign that you know that you're ready for ministry.
Man.
When you can lie like none other and just believe it all the way.
Thank you for that, brother.
And I love you, Brother Daniel, but there's another sign of ministry, too. When you dig yourself in a hole, and then you just keep talking, and if you talk long enough, you can convince yourself that you're going to get away out of that.
Take the shovel away.
If I just talk long enough, I'll convince everybody what I'm trying to say.
Right.
I'm with you, though, Brother Daniel. I'm with you. I'm trying my hardest to support you, brother. I'm with you. All right. Going to let y'all in on another little secret about me. I do not believe in zombies. Say, okay, that's dumb.
30 of them.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that's been going on for years, a lot of dumb TV shows and all this stuff about zombies and all this kind of stuff. The idea of people dying and coming back to life and turning into some kind of ghoulish monster and all this kind of stuff. Always seemed pretty dumb to me.
Yeah, right.
I will say this, though. The only thing that has ever made me think maybe is the mornings at youth camp. The only thing that makes me think maybe the dead can come back to life is watching some of y'all in the mornings at youth camp. Who's going to win this morning? Who's ready to have a great week at camp? How are you this morning? So I got to admit, every now and then y'all make me a little nervous and you make me think maybe. But I think, you know, we'll get there. We'll get y'all woken up this morning. Okay? We're going to be studying more about Joseph. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 39 this morning. To start with, Genesis chapter 39. All right, and to get things started off this morning, before we get into the teaching and things like that, we're going to start off with an illustration this morning. So what I need is somebody who is confident that you are very good with directions, like figuring out where to go. You think you got it? See, I always love that too. You ask for volunteers, I need somebody who's very good in this. Ooh, me! And then you pick them. Oh, wait, no, me? Somebody who's good with finding their way around and good with directions. Are you sure? All right, come up here. Me too, brother. I came up with a good one the other night. I didn't know how it happened. I was preaching at my church and don't know where it came from. It just popped into my head. I said, I could get lost in my own pair of pants. And it's pretty true. I can get lost anywhere. I am not good at directions. You're pretty confident. So this is what I need you to do.
Nope.
I know it's very hard. See, this time I'm reaching you kids. Because I went and... Okay. If you don't mind standing here and facing this way. I know it's really hard, but I want you to, you know, focus on me here. Okay? Because this is what we're going to do. We're going to put this blindfold on you. Okay? So step forward just a little bit. You're going to have to trust me behind you for just a few seconds.
Brother, that okay. Going to blew your nose
with? Only twice. Only twice. I'm just kidding. That moisture is coincidental. All right, let me get this on you. All right, Savannah, right? All right, so can you see me?
Nope, but I can feel you.
You can feel me? Well, I know that, but can you see me? Are you sure you can't see me?
No.
Are you positive that you can't see me? No, just kidding. All right. You were in this room last night, correct? For service. You've been in this room a couple times. How confident, you know how it's kind of laid out. You've got a section of chairs on the one side, a section of chairs on the other side, a section of chairs in the middle, right? So how confident are you that you can walk all the way around that middle section and come right back to where you are without any trouble?
That way?
I didn't give you directions. How confident are you can walk around the middle section? You think you can do that without falling? Okay. Are you ready? Okay, well, before you start, we're going to give you some of this, okay? Keep going. I'll tell you when to stop. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep going. Keep spinning. Okay, so while Savannah's spinning, we're going to go ahead and have our lesson this morning, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Just keep going. I'll make sure you're turning in the right direction to get started. I won't clothesline you. Okay, now I think you're ready. Okay, let me get you started in the direction you should go. All right, there you go. I'm trying to get you started. All right, now go.
We actually need...
You're off to a great start, by the way. Now see if you can find your way around without stumbling into... I said without stumbling into things, not with... stepping on people.
She's doing a good job, though. Good job.
She's doing pretty good. Yeah, don't break anything. Let's see if you can just find your way around without stumbling into things. Without stumbling into things. All right, easy. A little bit to the left. A little bit to the left. All right, that's your right. A little bit to the left. A little bit more. A little bit more. A little bit more. Okay, so you're getting there. A little bit farther. You're almost there. Okay. Let me see if I can peel this off for you. Thank you very much, Savannah. You can go be seated.
Good job.
Good job, Savannah.
First of all, hopefully you've learned by now, don't listen to me, okay? I was trying to trip her up, and she tripped a couple of times, got her a little dizzy. But it gives a good illustration of the way that we see things, okay?
Yes, sir.
And if you remember with Joseph, where we left off with Joseph in the book of Genesis chapter 39, he had established a wonderful relationship with his brothers, and they were getting along really well, to the point that they literally dug a hole and threw him in it. Then they sold him to a group of travelers called the Ishmaelites. Okay, so we're going to be in Genesis chapter 39. And at the end of chapter 37, he was sold to this group of people called the Ishmaelites, and they were just... traders and sellers, they sold people, they sold all kinds of things. And so they go to Egypt and they sell Joseph once again to this man in Egypt called Potiphar. Okay? And he was one of the, not the bosses, but one of the higher-ups in Egypt a little bit. And so they sell him to Potiphar to be a slave. So twice in a very short time, not only has Joseph's life been completely upended, all right, now he's been thrown into a pit, his life's completely changed from now on, but he's also been sold twice. His freedom has been completely taken from him. He was sold to one group of people, and then before he knew it, he was sold to somebody else to be this guy's personal slave. But I want to show you something that is happening in the life of Joseph that is going to be a foundational, a fundamental truth about God in Joseph's life that we need to learn this morning. In the book of Joseph chapter 39, no, see, I told you I was going to do that all week. I'm going to tell you the book of Joseph probably 40 times this week. Okay? Just to be clear, there is no book of Joseph. It doesn't exist. So whenever you hear me say the book of Joseph, you're going to have to learn how to speak Osborne. Okay? You've heard of Spanish. You've heard of English. You've heard of Italian, some Mandarin, some of these other languages. Lesser known language, but just as complex and intelligent is the language of Osborne. Okay? So whenever I say the book of Joseph, know that I mean Genesis. Okay? So the book of Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he had to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had. It means he didn't worry about anything that he had, save the bread which he did eat, and Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. You saw it twice in that passage, and I want to point out these two things. I don't know if you caught it, but I hope that you did. And the principle that we're studying about in the life of Joseph this morning is this. Verse 2, in the very first phrase of verse 2, says, and the Lord was with Joseph.
Amen.
Okay? Read in verse 3. And the master saw that the Lord was with him.
That's right.
Skip over to verse 21. We're going to cover everything that happened in between a little bit later. We're going to go through that tonight. But in verse 21, the Bible says it again, but the Lord was with Joseph. You see, tonight we're going to go into some detail about just the level of craziness that happens in Joseph's life. Just how insane it gets and some of the ridiculous things that he went through. But before we start going through all the crazy, before we start looking at all the things that happened to Joseph, we got to lay some foundation with these things. And see, we talked last night about the most important thing for you to remember is the fact that God had a design for Joseph's life. God had a design for your life. Is that you accept a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He wants to have a relationship with you. And the reason He wants to have a relationship with you is so that you can know, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how much your life gets turned upside down, no matter what's going on in your life. Let me ask you this. Even at this young stage in your life, have you ever depended on somebody and they let you down? Right? People have let you down before. But what God wants you to know through that relationship is that no matter what's going on, He will be with you.
Amen.
Three times, just in that chapter, says the Lord was with Joseph. And so this morning we're going to take just a few minutes and look at why that's such an awesome thing for God to be with us. And I didn't do that this morning just to pick on somebody. Thank you for being willing, Savannah, but I wasn't just trying to pick on you. Only. That's always part of it, but not the only reason. We're going to work that in as well and explain what the difference is. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for always making it possible, Lord, for us to realize that You're with us. Lord, we've got to understand, though, for You to be with us, we've got to be with You. And we've got to accept that relationship and accept that salvation that You make possible for us. And so, Lord, as we come before You this morning, we ask, Lord, I know people are tired, I know people are sleepy, but God, we ask that You take control of our minds, our bodies. And Lord, help us to listen, help us to focus, so that we can learn just how wonderful it is to have You with us. Bless this time, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit do the preaching and the teaching. Let me only be your instrument and your vessel. And we praise you for it, Lord, and we thank you for your word. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
In there in Genesis chapter 39, the Lord was with Joseph. I'm going to ask you to turn to another place with me. Turn to the book of Psalms. That's right in the middle of it. It should be right in the middle of your Bible. You'll find like Job, Psalms, Proverbs around in there. I want you to turn to Psalm 23. Why does it matter whether or not God is with us? As you're turning to Psalm 23, I want to talk about our illustration a little bit.
Amen.
Okay? If I can ask Savannah a couple of questions. What were the things that made it hard, Savannah, to find your way?
Because I was blindfolded.
You're blindfolded. So your vision was impaired. You couldn't see. What else didn't help?
You spinning me.
Yeah, spinning you around and getting you dizzy. Not only that, after I got her all dizzy, immediately I pointed her in the wrong direction. She heard me say, just let me get you pointed in the right direction. Don't ever trust that. I'm never going to make it easy for you. I'm always going to mess with you. But that's a very good example of the way life can be. And before we go any further in this study, guys, what we've got to admit about ourselves is our own limitations. So see, the problem that we're going to run into, if you haven't seen it yet, the difficulty you're going to have in life is the times when you can't see what's coming. There's going to be times in your life when you can't see. You don't know where to go.
Right.
I'm an oldie. I'm an old guy. One of many. All right? Some of y'all are looking at me and saying, you think he's old?
Yeah, amen.
I get that. But pretty much once you don't have teen next to your age anymore, you're an old to somebody.
Yeah.
So I've been old for a while. Not as long as some.
Amen.
Thank you.
I should have my dad come up here and teach you about Joseph, seeing how he was there. Be a little more effective, eyewitness account. No, I'm just kidding. But I can tell you this, guys. No matter how experienced you are, no matter how smart you are, no matter how educated, no matter how much money you earn, no matter what you're able to achieve in your life, there are going to be times, more than you can possibly imagine, there are going to be times in your life when you can't see the answer.
That's right.
Amen.
There are going to be times in your life when you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go, and you don't know which way to turn.
Amen.
Amen. It's good, preacher.
I would be willing to bet, because it never ceases to amaze me how much earlier this is happening in lives. I would be willing to bet that some of you are already there. Some of you are already going through things in your life that have taken you to the place where you don't know where to turn. And you don't know where to go for answers. And you don't know how to find a way out. Well, that's why it's so wonderful in Psalm 23. Probably, if you want to talk about a whole chapter, probably the most well-known chapter in all of the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Once we start reading it, once we start quoting it and going over it, you've probably heard some of it somewhere before. But this is that passage of Scripture where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Some of y'all heard some of these things before. Okay, some of you haven't. That's okay. But it paints this picture for us of how our relationship with God works. And it paints this picture of how life can be if we are in the right relationship with God.
Amen.
See, Joseph's life turned upside down, backwards, forwards, spun all over, turned on his head, flipped around. He probably did flip a couple times going down into that hole. So my personal opinion and my extremely overactive imagination, I got to think, at some point Joseph is saying, what is happening? What is going on? What in the world am I supposed to do now? But remember what it said. The Lord was with Joseph.
Yes.
And everything that happens from this point forward in the life of Joseph goes back to this point.
Amen.
The Lord was with Joseph. But we're going to see starting in chapter 39 that Joseph also was with the Lord.
Amen.
You say, what in the world does that mean? That's saying the same thing. No. See, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was working in his life. The Lord was already beginning to try to tell him, this is where you got to go. But Joseph also said, in spite of all the things that he was facing, all the things that he was seeing, Joseph still said, okay, Lord, I got no idea what... I'm lost. But I know that you're God. You're the God of my fathers. I know what you've done in the past, so God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to follow you.
Amen.
See, this is the awesome thing about our God. She figured it out pretty quickly, but at first, Savannah started listening to me when I was trying to tell her where to go. The problem with that is I had no intention of trying to help her do what she was trying to do. I was going to try to make her trip and fall as much as I could for my own amusement.
Wow.
Exactly. But see, God is not that way.
That's right.
Aren't we all happy? Amen?
Yes, amen.
It starts in that very first phrase of that chapter in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd.
Yes, amen.
That describes the attitude of our God toward us. See, back in that day, a shepherd gave his life to the care of the sheep.
Yes.
He took care of them. He watched over them, fed them, led them, protected them, saved them when they got in trouble. Everything in his life was about taking care of those sheep. So when the Bible says the Lord is my shepherd, what it is describing is this amazing thing. We talked last night about how God spoke and the universe came to existence.
Amen.
How he knows. I mean, the thing that gets me is what that verse in the Bible where he knows not only how many stars there are, but the Bible literally says he knows them by name. He knows what their name is. I can't keep y'all's name straight. And I promise I'm trying. But I'll be honest, I'm going to let you know a little secret. That's why you keep hearing me say, hey, man, how are you this morning? I'm getting some of them. But of all that's how great and how huge God is.
Yeah.
And how magnificent He is.
Yes.
And that's just one thing that makes Him so. That's not even scratching the surface of how great God is. And that God dedicates all of His awesome, indescribable, magnificent power to taking care of us. The Lord is my shepherd. And because of His amazing care for us, because God is with me, I shall not want. I love this next part. I tell folks in our church, it's one of three things I remember from my never mind how many years in Bible college. You say, what do you mean never mind how many years? My wife took the easy way out. My wife kind of cheated and shortcutted, and she only went to college for 4 years. I was much more thorough. I determined I was going to get a lot more out of my college education, so I went to college for a lot more than 4 years. I'm joking about that. She did it right. I did it way wrong. But one of the things I remember is we were learning about this chapter. And so this guy, this professor, started explaining this relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And just like the difficulty that was put on Savannah by blindfolding her, there's something we've got to realize about us. We're the sheep, but you know what is the most unique thing about sheep? They are amazingly stupid.
Yes.
Sheep are some of the dumbest animals that have ever walked the earth. And there's a reason why God uses them to illustrate us in the Bible.
Man.
I know it's all like, psh, I ain't dumb, man. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm smart. I learned myself good. I had to learn them letters. You can be the most intelligent person that has ever walked the face of the earth.
Yeah.
But more times than not, if you're not careful in life, you're still going to be blinded.
Right.
And you're still, because this brain, no matter how great it may be, it's pretty sad. I'll come home. My wife homeschools our kids. I'll say, hey, let me help. To be honest, there's not any of our kids that should be that much smarter than me already. So I'll start trying to help with my oldest. Whoa! My bad. I didn't learn that language. Dad, it's math. Exactly. So I'll go second oldest. Not much better there. Go down to our second to youngest. She's fixing to start fifth grade. Right? See, I'm not even sure of that. Surely, fourth grade, I'll be good. She opens up her book. So then I go back to Olive. Say, Olive, let's go look on letters. Let's go do some three-piece puzzles. Maybe that I can help with. And see, in life, I'm going to tell you, in all honesty, one of the most important steps that you can take is realize, without God's help, just how limited we are.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
And without God's help, we're going to be blindfolded. We're not going to be able to see. Without God's help, the circumstances are in life, in spite, on top of our limitations, they're going to start spinning us around. They're going to start getting us all confused. They're going to start getting us all bewildered and all messed up. And if we try to live by our own power and our own abilities, I know what you're thinking. Well, I'm smart. I know what some of you guys are thinking. I got it. I got this.
Yeah.
Shows you how much of a genius I am. When we were first married, whenever wife would come to me with money issues, which was any time money was involved. And she'd say, well, we're going to be short. My response every time was, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'll work it out. Why? Because I'm the man. That's why. You're welcome, babe. I got this. And all that road did is take me to almost having a nervous breakdown. And it took me to a point that I'll never forget as long as I live. We were in our first apartment, which is about as big as the space behind that piano over there. I couldn't sleep one night, so I woke up and I walked out into the living room, which is to say I sat up and did this.
I remember that.
But I went out into that living room and I just collapsed and I literally fell face down on the ground and just started bawling and weeping and crying out to God. And I said, God, I just can't anymore. God, I'm done. I quit. I don't know what else to do. I've tried everything I can think of. I've worked as many different places as I can, as many hours as I can, and no matter what I do, it's not enough. I quit. I'm done. If you want me to leave so that Miss Rachel can find somebody that's worth something to marry, whatever. Just, I'm done. And it's almost like God just kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, good.
Amen.
Now let me show you what I can do.
Amen.
Yes.
See, the Bible says the Lord is my shepherd. He says He leadeth me beside green pastures. He leadeth me into still waters. Let me tell you something about sheep. They will eat anything. Literally. I've heard stories of sheep eating signs, fence posts. They'll just start eating anything. So one of the things a shepherd would have to do is he would have to go into that field wherever he's going to lay them down for the night. And he would have to go into that field and remove anything out of that field that might hurt the sheep. Because if not, they're going to eat it. Green pastures. He leadeth me beside green pastures. Then it says, He leadeth me to still waters. You want to know how dumb sheep are? They can't drink from moving water. Say, what do you mean? If they go to a river or a stream or water that's moving, they don't know how to drink from it. They go to stick their face into it, the water comes over them and they don't know how to do it. And so they'll just stand there. And so the shepherd would have to literally dig a trench from the river and then dig out a hollow place for the water to gather in order for the sheep to be able to get water. Why? Because they're stupid. I heard a story not too long ago about a man who was raising sheep, and he had, you've seen those big, huge horse troughs filled with water where the horses come and get, well, that's what he would give them water. Well, something happened with the windmill or something. He had, for some reason, he had to move the water. And so he just moved the water just a few yards away from where it was. And he said he came out the next day and all of the sheep were gathered where the water used to be. And they were just standing there. And so he just watched them for a while. And he said they would just stand there and not move. And so finally he literally had to go get them and lead them just a few yards away to the water because they're so stupid. How many of you have ever done something dumb? Never mind. I know you all have. A couple of you I know full well better be raising your hands. You know when I knew just how dumb I was? I wonder if my dad will remember this. I went with him one day. He was making the deposit for the bank. I even remember what car we were driving. We had a Isuzu Trooper. It's like, kind of like a Jeep, kind of. We pulled up to the bank. And he said, I'm just going to run into the bank right quick. I'll be right back. I said, okay, Dad, no problem. And I'm just... All of a sudden, I look. And back in that day, they had what's called cigarette lighters in a car. Some of you may know what that is, some of it. And in order to light people that smoked, they would push this thing in. And in just a couple seconds, he'd pull it out. It's red glowing hot. And then they'd light their cigarette with it. I knew that part. I've seen my dad burn ends of rope with it and stuff like that. So I red glowing hot, don't touch it. So what I did is, I wonder how fast that thing gets hot. So I pushed it, and normally what happens is you push it and wait for it to pop back out on its own. So I pushed that thing in, and then just wait a couple seconds and snatched it right back out, and I looked at it. It's not glowing red. So how in the world can I find out whether or not this thing is hot? And because I'm such a genius, it's hot! You ever smelled burning flesh? And so I, all of a sudden I look up and here comes my dad. I say, I'm going to hurt somewhere else now. So I put that cigarette lighter back in there and I just tried to look out the window. My dad gets in the car, closes the door. And he looks over at me and I'm just going... He's like, son, you okay? No! You wonder what's the matter with me. And all of his infinite compassion... My dad just started laughing himself sick. Guys, we don't make good decisions. We don't know. We're limited. We have issues in our brains.
Right.
And guess what happens when you become adult? You just have that much more experience making stupid decisions. When we advise you and we tell you what things to do and not to do, it's not because we're so smart, it's because we've done those same stupid things and we know how it's going to turn out.
Man, that's right.
So don't do that.
That's right.
But that's why God says, I'm your shepherd.
Yes.
I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to lead you to the things that you need. And I'm going to keep you away from the things that are going to harm you. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leadeth me beside the still waters. It says, He restoreth my soul. There are times when life is going to, no better way to say it, suck the life out of you. There are times when you are going to say, I've got nothing left.
That's right.
And that's when the shepherd would come. The sheep's hurt. The sheep's too weak to keep up. You know what the shepherd does? He picks that sheep up. And he carries them the rest of the way. There are going to be times when the only way you're going to make it through life is for God to pick you up and to carry you through. Because He's with you.
Amen.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. How many of you struggle with staying out of trouble?
Amen.
I'm with you, Savannah. Thank you. Some of y'all are having trouble just staying awake, so we'll try to close this up. But I got some witnesses. And by the way, it didn't stop when my parents were done with me. My wife and I are fixing to celebrate 18 years that we've been married.
Man.
She can tell you, I still struggle with staying out of trouble. That's why the shepherd is so important, because he leads you where you're supposed to be.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And he's never going to fail to lead you where you're supposed to go. The Lord is with you. Leadeth me beside still waters. Leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. But you know what? I would hate to know, and I'm willing to bet that some of you have been through some tremendously dark times in your life. Life sometimes is described as mountaintops and valleys. High points and low points. See, right after that, Psalm 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the deepest, darkest, most horrible, terrifying times that we can go through in our life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me.
Amen.
See, whenever you decided to be a shepherd in that day, you had to know, wolves, bears, lions, it doesn't matter what is coming after your sheep. If it's necessary, you got to give your life to protect that sheep. No matter how far that sheep strays away from the flock, you got to go get it. No matter how dark the times, guys, the Lord will be with you. There's going to be times when everybody else in your life fails you. There's going to be times in your life when no human being is able to help you. There's going to be times in your life, and most of the time it's at that very same time when you realize you can't even help yourself. But in the darkest, most frightening, most horrifying times in your life, you can live without fear, because you know if nothing else, the Lord is with you.
Amen. That's good.
He promises us many times in His Word. In one place in Deuteronomy, He says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There are times in my life when I have legitimate worries that my kids are going to survive to adulthood. Why? Because they do something that makes me so mad. I think, this is it, Lord. This is the end for them, and I'm going to prison. I know I'm the only parent who ever had those thoughts. I know of at least one. Amen? That's it. I'm sending them to meet you, Lord. Get ready. This kid's done on this earth.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. At least I got one honest parent in here. But you know what? The Lord's never going to get tired of us.
Amen.
The Lord's never going to get fed up with our stupidity. And the Lord's never going to abandon us.
That's right.
Not only that, Savannah was struggling because she couldn't see what was ahead of her. You know how God handles, you know how our shepherd handles what's ahead of us? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I'm going to let you in a little secret. You're going to have enemies in your life. You think the ones you're related to are your enemies now. No, I'm just kidding. At least in my house, sometimes it seems like enemies. But there are going to be people in your life that it seems like it, their life's purpose is to make things hard for you. What God tells us is before we even get to the problems with our enemies, He's already got what we need prepared for us. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You know what's great about God? Is He always gives you what you need.
Amen.
And then He says, now that you've got what you need, now I'm getting started. And then He shows you that He's more than you could ever dream. So when you get saved, that means that you never have any problems and everything's sunshine and roses and Dr. Pepper and double cheeseburgers and ice cream for the rest of your life.
Amen.
Nope. God tells us over and over and over that there's going to be valleys of the shadow of death. He tells us we're going to have hard times. He tells us we're going to have enemies. He tells us we're going to have struggles. We're going to learn about those enemies tonight. But the point is, if the Lord is your shepherd, it doesn't matter what the enemies are.
That's right.
The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? My favorite illustration is this. I told you last night that at one time, I could actually see my shoes without a mirror. What do I mean by that? I used to actually be in shape. Okay? I know it took some of y'all a minute there about the shoes.
Yeah.
Never mind the belt. I stopped looking for those years ago. But I actually grew and I was actually really skinny. I went from about 5'7 or so to about 6'1 over a summer. And I didn't gain an ounce. My feet grew, my head grew, and my limbs got longer, and that was it. I looked like some kind of freak show stick figure that somebody drew that didn't know how to draw. I was the only, we were in a little small town. My dad was a pastor in Pennsylvania at the time. And we were in a little bitty private Christian school. And at that time, even including teachers, the school was so small, I was the only person in the school over 6 feet tall. So needless to say, I stuck out. The next tallest person to me was a girl. Whew. Sorry, just had a memory. Anyways. But there was a lot of big, strong wrestlers and farm boys and things like that in Pennsylvania. And so these two guys were friends of mine. And sometimes you hear a name, and as soon as you hear a name, you're like, yep, yeah, I know what kind of person that is. These guys' names were Abe Williams and Tony Kazaki. That's right. Oh. So as soon as you hear those names, you're like, yeah, these guys aren't going to NASA. But they were big, strong guys, and I weighed like 135 pounds. And they didn't like that I got taller than them over the summer. But they were friends of mine. But they come up to me and they go, hey, we're going to shove you in your locker. And I'm like, well, that'd be a trick, but I weigh like 30 pounds. What do you want me to do? Let's get it over with. He's like, well, you're a freshman and we're old. We got to shove you in your locker. And I was like, well, I'm glad my confirmations about y'all's intellect is confirmed. But let's get it over with. And they're like, okay. I'm like, come on. And then all of a sudden, and they just kind of go like that. I'm like, well, are we going to do this or not? Everything about those guys changed. I'm like, all right, whatever. And I go to turn around. My big brother's standing behind me. My brother was not built like me. He's only 5'10 or so, but let's just say that he was not skinny. He was stacked. And he also had a wonderful personality and a way of telling people, guys, we're all friends, but you start messing with my little brother, I'm going to get kicked out of this school, beating the tar out of both of you right here, right now. So they just went, we were just kidding, man. Relax. And you know what I had done by this time? Moved directly behind my brother so I could go, yeah! What? Then they walked off and never messed with me again. And then in all of his love, my big brother said, relax, man. I'm the only person that's going to shove you in your locker. But the point was, he wasn't going to let anybody mess with me.
Amen.
And so I walked even taller around there then. And I'd say, hey, Abe, how you doing, man? Because I knew if they tried to mess with me, they were going to have to deal with my big brother, and they wanted no part of that. If the Lord is your shepherd, guys, it doesn't matter what you come across.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
If the God who holds all of creation in the perfect balance is in your corner, what is there to fear?
Amen. Right.
What is there to be afraid of? And another place in the Scripture says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Man.
Guess what? If the Lord is your shepherd, you don't even have to fear COVID.
Amen.
I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. Don't stone me. Then that wonderful chapter in Psalm 23 ends this way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yeah.
Why is it so important that God is with you? Because He's ahead of you, providing everything that you need for the future. He's all around you, protecting you with every single step that you take. And then, you look behind you, and all of His goodness and love and mercy and grace and kindness, that's what's coming when you come through the valley of the shadow of death.
Amen.
So guys, a tremendous life is possible for you no matter what you're up against if the Lord is your shepherd.
Yeah.
If the Lord is with you.
Amen.
So, all right, well, how do I make sure the Lord is with me? Now we get to the other side of that relationship. It's great for the sheep when the shepherd is taking care of them. But here's what you got to know about God. It is, the Bible says, it is literally impossible for Him to lie. It is impossible for Him to fail. There will never be a moment you give your life to Jesus Christ. There will never be a millisecond of your life in which God does not have His perfect guidance and leadership and hand upon your life.
Amen.
So the only question is this. Are we smart enough to follow? All of this stuff that we just talked about, all of this goodness, you go all the way back to Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. That tells us He's going to take care of us. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to protect us. But for Him to be our shepherd, that means we've also got to follow Him.
Amen.
Because guys, guess what? If we're one of those genius sheep that decide, meh, and just meh, then we're going to take ourselves out of God's care. We're going to take ourselves away from His protection, and we're going to remove ourselves from the placement of His blessings. Maybe you're here and you're like, okay, man, just draw it in. We got games to play. We got food to eat. Let's go. Everything that's going to be said this week, you have a choice. You can believe it or you can't. I can't make you believe it, and nobody else can. But if you choose not to believe this, and you choose to deny God, you're putting yourself outside of His care.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's what leads you to Matthew chapter 7. And this is where we'll stop. I want you to turn there with me because I want you to see this. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, find the New Testament, go toward the front. See a bunch of red letters probably. Find the book of Matthew and look with me at chapter 7. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Think about some times maybe in your life when you've gotten lost. I know I can speak as a parent. I might not be able to remember what it was like as a child. I'm sure Dad and Mom's probably got some stories of times that I was lost or something like that. I don't remember those. But since I've been a parent, I can't tell you how many times we've been in Walmart or we've been somewhere else, and all of a sudden we turn around and one of the kids is gone. And our immediate response is, because I'm so cool, calm, and collected, my immediate response is, where's number three? And every single kid, because I'm reaping what I sow, has found it hilarious at one point or another to hide right in the middle of one of those clothes racks.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh my God! And I'm starting to take racks of clothes and I'm just clearing out Walmart. Where's my kid? Here I am, Daddy. But you know, when you're so dependent on your parents, times if you're lost, it can be a very fearful thing. Look in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Look with me in verse 13. You've got to understand something. Remember how we talked last night? God is a God of design. Yeah. There's a specific way, there's a right way, and there's a wrong way. This talks about that way in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Last night I talked a little bit about heaven, and how great it is, and all those wonderful things. Well, guys, if God is real, and if heaven is real, that also means that Satan is real. That also means that hell is real.
Amen.
And if we refuse to allow God to lead us to Him, sooner or later that life is going to lead to your destruction. Not only the destruction of your physical life, not only the turmoil and the catastrophe of living this life without Jesus Christ, but if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's a place called hell.
Yeah.
It's a place of eternal fire and burning. So, whoa, this took a turn. See, in hell, if you read the Scripture, you burn, but you never... See, you light something on fire, eventually it's going to burn up. But if you live in this life and you decide to deny the Lord Jesus Christ, and you die in your sins, you're sent to a place called hell where it is fire for the rest of eternity, and you never are consumed. It is the only place that exists completely without any influence of God whatsoever. And that is a terror that cannot be described. So guys, you have a choice. You've got paths before you. You're going to follow. Doesn't mean that there's never going to be hard times. But even in the hard times, green pastures, still waters, surely goodness and mercy.
Amen.
Or you can decide to deny Him. You can decide, nah, this is all made up. Whatever. You just tell this to make yourself happy and so you can stand up and yell at people for an hour. And if you choose that path, destruction, corruption, and hell. So guys, the choice you gotta make and the decision that you have to make within yourself.
Right.
Am I going to listen to God? Am I going to follow Him? Or am I going to choose destruction? The rest of this week, that's the choice you've got to make. Maybe you're here this morning and you already know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. You can still make a royal mess out of your life by refusing to follow God. I've been saved since I was a young boy, and I still did a great job of messing my life up royally. Making a huge mess out of my life. And I had to fall on my face and literally cry out to God. Yeah. So guys, which way are you going to choose? You're going to stumble around with your eyes blocked and your head all dizzy, tripping over everything this way and that, listening to all the wrong decisions? Or are you going to allow God to take control of your life and allow Him to lead you in the way everlasting? Allow Him to lead you by those green pastures and consume you in His goodness. The only way Joseph makes it is because the Lord is with him and because he follows the Lord.
Amen.
So guys, which path are you going to pick? Which decision are you going to make? I'm going to ask you to stand together this morning. We're going to play another song or so. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. It's something I don't normally do with regards to like invitation and things like that, because I don't like to try to pressure people, and I don't like to try to talk you into anything. But I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. I just want everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. Here in a minute, they're going to start playing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I've enjoyed getting to know you guys. Can't wait to get to know you better. But I don't know what you're going through. So maybe there's somebody here this morning and they say, you know what, I've heard all of this stuff, but I don't know about all this Jesus stuff. I don't know who He is. I don't know why He's so important. But man, I think I'd like to know more about Him. I think I'd like to find out more. If you're here this morning and you know that you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, but you'd like to find out a little more about Him, you have some questions about what it means to know Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're that person, would you just raise your hand up this morning? Okay? Maybe you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know Jesus. You know who He is. You know what He's about. But you know that you haven't been following Him. Maybe your life has just kind of been turned upside down. Maybe you're here this morning, and I'm not trying to every single scenario. I'm just trying to help you understand that the Lord is here for you. Maybe you've been trying your best to follow Him, and your life is still getting turned upside down. Maybe you just need some help this morning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to start singing. I'm going to ask our counselors and things like that to be ready. If you are dealing with something this morning, maybe you're hurting, maybe something's going on at home, if you'll meet our counselors in the back of the room, maybe you're nervous about doing it in front of people, whatever. Guys, let God lead your life. We're going to pray and then we're going to start singing. You head toward the back and let them help you. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today and we thank You for Your love. We thank You for leading us. Take complete control of this invitation, Lord. Work in every heart, soul, and mind. And we'll praise You for it, Lord. It's in Your name that I pray. Amen. Whatever your need, you need something this morning. Maybe you don't even know what it is. We've got counselors all around. You head toward the back and they'll help you. Lead us, brother.
Number 277.
Every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him.
Salvation only comes if you're willing to trust Him and if you're willing to come to Him. You've got to open yourself up and ask for it. That's what that relationship is we talked about last night. I like this next verse. It says, He shed His blood, rich blessings to bestow. Don't rob yourself of His blessings because you're too afraid to step out and come to Him. Sing that verse.
His precious blood, His blessings to be so. Plunge now into the crimson flood and wash His white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him.
That's what this camp is about. You know, we are all in a spiritual battle. Every human being, every person is in a spiritual battle. And that's what we're here for as Christians. We want you to know, we want you to be assured that you know where you're going to spend eternity.
Yep.
That's one of the questions that I always ask a person if I get an opportunity is, do you know? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Are you going to spend eternity in heaven and glory with God, or are you going to spend eternity in hell? The Bible speaks of heaven and it speaks of hell.
That's right.
And that's what Jesus came here to do. He came here to save us from our sins. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Hell is a real place. It's a real place. And Jesus Christ is a real person. And He came to this earth and He died for the sins of men. And the Bible says that He rose up from the grave on the third day in victory over death and hell.
Amen.
The Bible says, for those who have faith in Him and trust in Him, they shall be saved. So I want to ask you, young people, are you 100% sure? I'm not asking you, do you think? I'm not asking you because you go to church or because you belong to some religion. Do you know?
That's right.
100% where you're going to spend eternity.
Amen. Right.
Do you know that? And if you say yes, if your answer is yes, then how do you know that? Because the Bible says there's only one way.
Right.
The Bible says neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I want to tell you right now, you only have this life, you only have this opportunity. This life. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not guaranteed. But as Pastor Joel spoke about hell, hell is a real place. Jesus gave us an example of the rich man that went to hell. And he was in torment. The Bible says he lifted up his eyes in torment. He knew immediately where he was. And he remembered his brothers. See, you think you're going to go to hell and you're just going to forget everything, or when you die, you just forget everything. You don't forget it. You don't forget. He remembered he had a family.
Come on, brother.
He remembered his situation.
Yep.
What I want to tell you is you have an opportunity in this camp, and you're going to be given opportunity after opportunity to make a decision. And you're always going to remember. If you pass that decision, if you pass it by, you're going to remember the day somebody gave you a tract. You're going to remember the day somebody told you about Jesus. You have this life. So please, do you know 100% where you're going to spend eternity?
Right.
This is what camp is about. I want to tell you that now we're going to go to you're going to go study your passages. I said that I want you to break up as your team, the challenged ones over there, and the soldiers on the other side. You guys work together, study the passages. What are we called, challengers?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, brother.
The challenged ones.
Seriously, study your verses. If you have any questions at all about your verses, get with one of your counselors, get with one of the adults, okay? We can all help you. But study your verses, study them together, talk about them, and memorize them. Because this can make the difference for you, Green Team. You're going to need all the help you can get. Challenge one. All right? Challenge one.
Challengers. We're not sweating. You're the only one else I'm sweating.
Okay, so everybody, if you have any questions about, you want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to know more, hey, come to us. We're here. All right, we're willing to talk to you, open up the Word of God, and show you in the Word of God what it says. All right? But think about that. Do you know 100% that you're going to spend eternity in heaven? And if your answer is yes, how do you know that? Think about those two questions.